Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, family in Christ. Special treat today. Welcome to Worldview Matters. We've got our globe brought in by the host of One Nation at Freedom Project, Dr. Jake Jacobs, who is in studio. Brother, welcome.
It's great to be here, David. It always is.
Thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for bringing the globe. I think I'm going to have to get one because Worldview Matters. We're going to go around the globe and talk about places like Venezuela. We might talk about New York City. We might talk about other places. But
maybe Greenland?
Greenland. But let's start with something fun, and that would be the Gulf of America.
It's crossed out. It says Gulf of Mexico. I crossed it out. My wife wasn't too happy. I put Gulf of America on there.
So let's talk about that. Why do you think that was such a big issue for some?
You know,
and that was kind of off the radar completely until President Trump said, you know what? Go ahead.
President Trump, he drives the leftists nuts.
I know.
He's the king of trolling. He knows how to drive them nuts. When we talk about Greenland, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
But when he did that, you know, they call it the Monroe Doctrine, based upon the Monroe Doctrine, the idea, you know, President Monroe, fifth president of the United States, December of 1823, gave a speech where, in essence, he said to the European colonists, you're not messing around in our backyard anymore. And the fact of the matter is, we are going to make sure that doesn't happen again, right, or happen in the future. So you fast forward, you look at American presidents that were there, from Teddy Roosevelt to JFK, Cuban Missile Crisis, Reagan in Nicaragua, El Salvador, President George H.W. Bush with getting Noriega in Panama in 1989. Mm. And the reason Trump did that, it was his way of saying, this isn't about one little country that has profound damage in many ways, Mexico, but it's about the United States of America that is, in essence, going to design a new, what I call, Trump row doctrine, in essence, to say, no more are you going to get away with the things you've been getting away with. It's interesting because we just say it's a name on a map, but it really was the beginning of his new doctrine that is letting the world know. And by the way, when he lets the world know this, he's letting the Iranians know this, who are in Venezuela, the Russians, the communist Chinese. Yeah. It's actually killing a lot of left-wing Marxist birds with one stone. So that little thing on the map is really a overarching big
thing. It's significant.
Very significant.
And tariffs play into this a little bit, don't they?
Right.
Because other countries were getting away with, you know, charging us massive tariffs, and we weren't charging them the same. And could you speak to that for a moment? I wasn't planning on talking about that, but I was thinking about that as you're explaining this, what he's trying to do, America first.
Yeah, that's fascinating because, you know, a number of conservatives from maybe the Cato Institute or Heritage Foundation or even others within maybe the von Mises School of Economics or Milton Friedman, the famous Nobel Peace Prize winner, or even Friedrich Hayek, another great Nobel Peace Prize winner, advisor to President Reagan. A lot of those individuals are saying, wait, tariffs are going to cause profound damage. And yes, there is short-term suffering and pain that is involved in this. But President Trump, being a very astute businessman, understand, by the way, his major in college, University of Pennsylvania, was economics, just like Ronald Reagan's major was economics.
Interesting,
right? The leftists hate to hear that stuff. But the whole point in saying that is, Trump came along and said, let me get this straight. You can put tax on our goods, but we can't have a reciprocity back at you. And Trump is saying, nope, we're drawing the line here. And it's very interesting. Most leftists, if not all leftists, and many even within the conservative circles, are they're like going, whoa, literally millions and billions and trillions of dollars are starting to flood back into the United States, being utilized as venture capitalism. Mm. And we saw the third and fourth quarter of 2025 where the economy, the GDP, was exploding. Yeah. And most of the economic forecasts for the first and second quarter coming up in 2026, it's even going to be better.
But you would never hear that from the media, right?
Well, of course. Well, it's interesting. Who's the guy on CNN that always he talks about stats? And,
oh, I don't know his name, but
I forget his name now. Our producer or director would know that.
Yeah.
But CNN lets him talk about this stuff, and he, in essence, is saying the Democrats, you're really messing up. And President Trump is profoundly successful in a number of ways.
You know why I think he's so prominent on CNN? Because the clips go viral.
Yeah.
Because they are reaching
Harry Enten.
They're reaching moderates. They're reaching independents. They're reaching even conservatives will watch that and go, wow, that's on CNN. And they'll share. So some of these video clips with him talking and going through these.
It's about the numbers.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. That's my theory anyway. So, Jake, do you want to go to Venezuela or Greenland next?
Let's just do Greenland.
Okay. Right? Okay. Greenland. Let's jump to Greenland.
All right.
Why is this important and why are some saying, wait a minute, Trump campaigned that he didn't want to, you know, take over the world, and now he's becoming.
You know, Greenland is a multifaceted geopolitical issue. And President Trump, granted, he's doing this kind of trolling, bombastic, bellicose language. We're going to take Greenland. Okay, he understands that he doesn't have constitutional authority to do that. Now, there could be maybe certain historical references of where Americans in the past American presidents have done that, but I don't think people recognize when you look at Greenland, it's the northern part of the Western Hemisphere. It's in our Western Hemisphere. So it does relate to the Monroe-Trump-Roe doctrine in that Greenland, when you look at the northern part of the world, the Arctic, and you're dealing with Russian ships, ice-breaking ships, and Russian military ships through the northern part of the world, communist Chinese ships in that region of the world. Back during World War II, when the Nazis took over Denmark, which has the providence over sovereignty over Greenland, we went to Greenland. We said to Denmark, we're sorry, you've been invaded by the Nazis, taken over. We have to make sure that the North Atlantic is protected, and we have a base. We have a base in Greenland. So there's so many things going on with Greenland. Also, there is the idea of spacefare or space warfare. Mm. Now, that's going to sound a little conspiratorial and crazy, but trust me, this is very important because the northern part of the world, we have bases in Norway, which is very important for satellite dishes when it comes to this, when it comes to the internet, when it comes to the technology. Yeah. And in the meantime, the communist Chinese, they have plans, and the Russians, they have plans because if they could control that part of the world, they can control the space technology with the internet and things related, because we know with AI and other things related, that's a lot of power. So we're dealing with a geopolitical situation.
Right.
But of course, the sovereignty of Greenland in relationship to Denmark's control is a very important issue. Really, the treaty that was established back in 1916, in essence, we said, okay, Denmark, we'll take the Virgin Islands. You can have control of Greenland. And so I think Trump is using this bellicose language as a way of kind of stirring it up, getting people thinking. It's what he's done with the art of the deal for all throughout his life. And what he's doing is he's setting the stage so when he goes to Denmark, he'll say, look, we need to have not one base, but we need more bases. We need to expand our bases. We need to have more access to Greenland. And a lot of Greenlanders, which, if I'm not mistaken, are Inuit in their background, they really love President Trump.
Hmm.
And so what people are thinking, and I could be wrong on this, but people are thinking that maybe possibly there could be an election where, and the Danish government has admitted, if the Greenlanders, the Inuit, if they vote, I think there's about 57,000 people in all of Greenland, if they vote to be independent from Denmark, they would be officially become an independent nation, but they would come under the ultimate sovereignty of the United States.
Interesting. Really interesting.
It is really fascinating stuff. And I know the lefties in our circle, too, would say, geez, but do you have to say you're going to take it? I really believe it's his kind of rhetorical move on the chessboard to get things going, because I believe
I think so too.
Before he's out, Greenland's going to be much more under our sphere of influence.
Well, it is a national security issue, but as you said, it's power when it comes to satellites and other things. But I can just imagine when we want to put another base there, the left is going to flip and say, "Oh, Trump wants to take over, and he's abusing his authority."
And I can deal with legitimate constitutional authority. I really have a number of libertarian friends, original constructionists of the Constitution. There are some legitimate arguments there. And so when President Trump does his rhetorical stuff, people are going, holy cow, what do we got here, a dictator? But I believe he's opening the door for Secretary of State Rubio and others to be involved in negotiating with the Danish. Because, by the way, this is an incredible albatross financially for the Danish. They spend a lot of money on helping Greenland actually maintain itself.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's very important. But the Danish, in defense of them, they're very offended by this. It makes sense. Yeah. This goes back over 300-400 years in their history. Goes back to the Vikings 1,000 years, etc. But ultimately, if Trump is wise, I think there's a way that we can get more influence in Greenland.
Okay.
And we should.
Yeah.
Because remember, the geopolitical machinations of of Russia, which Putin is an old Soviet KGB and of China, they're up to no good in the northern part of the world, and we need to remember that.
Yep. Amen. Great points. As we go around the world here, we've got to go. We're going to stop in New York City in a couple minutes, but before we do that, let's go to Venezuela, based on recent events.
Yi.
Before the recent arrest and the recent headlines a couple weeks ago, let's talk about fentanyl and the prison gang Tren de Aragua. I've got some stats that I'm going to mention and get you to talk about this, because this flies under the radar, and it's disgusting. Since 2021, more than 250,000 Americans have died from fentanyl and synthetic opioid overdoses. In 2023 alone, nearly 73,000 lives were lost. That's almost 200 people a day. Now, these aren't abstract numbers. This is narcotics flooding into our country, primarily through the southern border. And it's not accidental chaos. Venezuelan prison gang, the Tren de Aragua, expanded operations into U.S. cities, as we know, during the Biden years. And they've engaged in kidnappings, extortion, human trafficking, violent intimidation. And we've seen some reports on that, what they've done in Aurora, Colorado, and others. But let me give you a couple more stats, Jake, and I'll let you respond. The United States, friends, understand this, because we don't hear this in the news. The U.S. has 4% approximately of the world's population, right? But we have 38% of the world's fentanyl consumption. And get ready for this. I hope you're sitting down. 65% of the world's fentanyl deaths. These are overdoses since 2019 in 4.5 years. These deaths have been more than all of the casualties of World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and Afghanistan combined. Jake?
First thing that comes to mind, by the way, I put the Arizona hat because it does relate to this.
Okay.
All right.
They've got a southern border there.
Well, I mean, the reason the hat is on I've been to the border a number of times in the past few years. In fact, I'll be leaving in a few weeks to go stay out there for a few months. I've been with Arizona ranchers, Arizona citizens, right on the border, right in what they call the Biden hole, the Biden gap, where literally hundreds of thousands of millions of illegals, many of them criminals, flooding through the border and spreading that poison all throughout the country.
Isn't that treasonous, by the way?
Absolutely
treasonous. How could a president or anyone in power allow allow this to happen to our country.
And to have Biden and Kamala Harris and I just forgot his name now. I'm glad I did. The guy who always lied and said, the border is secure. The border is not open.
Oh, boy.
The point is they were lying through their teeth. When I'm with the ranchers, and they were, in fact, we had two times where we actually saw the cartel, and they were carrying the backpacks full of their drugs.
Wow.
Right? In fact, we wanted to go after them, but the rancher I was with grabbed me and said, you can't do that, Jake, because they literally, because one of the guys dropped their backpack when they saw us, and it went down into a creek, and I wanted to go get it. And he said, you can't do that, because they got guys with high-power rifles that will shoot you because of what's in the bag. But anyways, my whole point in bringing that up is the fascinating thing about this and the disgusting thing about this is Gustavo Petro of Colombia. He works in cahoots. The cocaine is coming through Colombia. The president of China knows that the precursor for fentanyl comes from China. And what do you think is the conduit, the launching pad for all this evil? Venezuela.
Yes.
Venezuela and Maduro. They did, back in the 50s, there was such prosperity in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. They were the fourth largest GDP. I always get that GDP in the world, fourth biggest.
Yeah.
Their income in some cases was coming close to American income in the late 50s, 1960s. Hugo Chavez and Maduro, they take over power 25 years ago. These are Marxists. They work in cahoots with Gustavo Petro of Colombia, and they nationalize, or I call it Marxize, the oil industry.
Yep.
They literally destroyed 80% of its capacity produced. They stole the revenue so they could become billionaires, multi-millionaire billionaires. And in essence, they also, then they turn to narco trafficking. They turn to the cocaine. They turn to the fentanyl. And so Venezuela is right smack dab in the middle. And it's not a coincidence that, believe it or not, it's going to sound strange for a Latin American country, that Iranian and Hezbollah activists are in Venezuela, part and parcel working within this trade, because that's the money they use to pay for Hamas, to pay for Hezbollah, to pay for the Houthis.
Yeah.
That President Trump, and of course, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the first Latino Hispanic Secretary of State in our history, he is an expert in this area. And this is so multi-layered and fascinating because of all the evil things that are happening between the Ruskies, the Russians, and the Communist Chinese and the Iranians. And that's why we have killed many, many evil birds with one stone on this move.
You mean by going down and arresting Maduro?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about, you used the word constitutional doctrine before.
Yeah.
In the context of Trump, but I've heard a couple on the liberal media outlets saying what Trump did is not constitutional.
Okay.
Because he abused his power.
Correct. Yeah. Now it's very interesting because how do we find time to explain all that?
Well, but we've got 10 minutes.
Okay.
And we've still got to talk about New York City.
The point is, I have some dear friends of mine, good thinkers, libertarian conservatives, that do say, but there's a constitutional issue here. Look, Article 1 gives the power to Congress to declare war.
Yeah.
Article 2 gives the power to the president, the executive, to be commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy. And so we've had this fight that's gone back and forth for well over 100 years. Teddy Roosevelt, with the Roosevelt corollary in relationship to the Monroe Doctrine, said, we're not going to allow these thugs to get away with that, or whatever the case may be, the Spanish or other countries. And he utilized that. And when they said, well, where do you have the power to do this? He says, Article 2 as commander-in-chief gives me that power. It could be, like I said earlier, it could be Teddy Roosevelt, JFK during the Cuban Missile Crisis. They didn't declare war. Harry S. Truman during the Korean War. They didn't declare war with the communists trying to take over the Korean Peninsula. Yeah. George W. Bush going into Panama with Manuel Noriega in 1989. I mean, so presidents have gone through, and it's interesting because even with the 1973 War Powers Act during Richard Nixon's time in relationship to the Vietnam War, and they thought he had too much power, they passed the War Powers Act, which said, we'll diminish his power. He can initiate within 48 hours, then he has to tell us, but he only has 60 days. to be able to do his thing if troops are going to be involved, and maybe another 30 days to pull him out safely. But the point is, the Supreme Court has never said it was unconstitutional, the War Powers Act. So many presidents, whether a Democrat or Republican, are always making reference to the War Powers Act, and Trump is simply saying, I'm exercising my executive authority based on Article 2 and the War Powers Act.
Yeah. It's amazing if you look at the protests of people cheering now in Venezuela. The citizens there, the average citizens there, are celebrating this. And our media won't talk about that angle, will they?
You know, it's absolutely amazing to me because 8 million Venezuelans, one of them is a friend of mine who I've worked with at YAF called Daniel DiMartino. He's working on his PhD at Columbia. He was just on Fox News this morning talking about this. His family fled Venezuela. And he says literally the people are overjoyed with what's going on. Okay, but in the meantime, what you see is a lot of these leftists. This is fascinating because the wokocrats, the leftists, the Marxists. Remember the NGOs, you know, the nonprofit organizations. They're going around with signs saying "Free Maduro." They're in downtown Manhattan.
These are paid agitators.
Yeah. These are leftists. These are Marxists. They're furious.
Looks good in the photo op, though, for the left,
it
for
looks
propaganda.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, the people, the populi, the people of Venezuela. And by the way, right now what's happening is they're arresting Venezuelans all over Venezuela, and they're looking at their phones. They're confiscating their phone because on their phones they're talking to each other going Viva Venezuela, Bravo President Trump. And if you were involved in supporting that, they're now going to arrest you or they're watching you. So the point is, we're in a very tenuous, very a tough situation where Venezuelans, they need support. So hopefully maybe Dominican Republic, El Salvador, possibly Argentinian troops, because the language is very important here, can get involved when the next election comes up and maybe Maria Maduro can be elected and they can bring true libre, true freedom to Venezuela.
Okay, Jake, in the last 6 minutes, we can't run out of time before we talk about New York City and the election of Mamdani. And this guy is trouble. It's a sad reflection of New Yorkers that he was elected. But I think a lot of that was paid propaganda, and they really didn't know he was a communist. Maybe socialism sounds good until you actually try to apply it, right? And if, unless you look at world history, but there's so much ignorance. But the language he was using about collectivism and versus individualism was very fascinating. Would you care to speak about that and what's going on in New York City?
Look, I understand you used the word ignorance, and they didn't know. Unfortunately, I think a lot of them did know. Mm-hmm. Sadly, as you and I have taught, Dr. Duke, who has his wonderful Dr. Duke show, teaches and talks about quite a bit on his shows. Unfortunately, many, many, and I hate to be a generational pick on guy because I'm always okay, boomer, you know, the old man doesn't know much. But there's sadly a significant number within the Zoomer generation and the millennial generation where they have gravitated towards socialism because it promises so much of this utopic lifestyle. They can maybe finally afford a home and it's going to make equality for all. And so if you look at the demographic numbers within the five boroughs of New York City, especially within the Manhattan area, they significantly voted for him knowing that he has a profound track record of Marxism. And by the way, he's a blend of Marxism and jihadi Islam. He was sworn in on the Quran, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And by the way, it's why he's furious that Maduro, of all cities, is in New York City. He's in New York State. And he is one of these leftists that didn't want Trump to stop what was going on in Latin America. Mm. And keep your eyes on him, because I know the city council has a lot of power, but if he can implement even 20% of what he wants to do, New Yorkers are going to flee New York like Venezuelans fled Venezuela.
We'll see. A lot is yet to be determined to see how this plays out, how much power he is actually able to unleash, and if there's going to be any restraint there. But let's talk about Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Somali chaos there. Well, and some people are watching the news and going, how did they get all this money all these years? to do whatever. And it didn't go to the people that really needed help, or didn't go to an authentic daycare or something like that. People are fed up with some of this. But yeah, these are pockets. Dearborn, Minneapolis.
Houston, Texas is growing.
Houston, the mosques down there. But what do you think is going to happen in Minneapolis?
Well, you know, I have a number of friends who have left either Minneapolis or St. Paul when they went through the whole, remember I wrote the book Mob Rule in 2020, and you saw the lies and distortion of what really went on. You saw the burning down of buildings, the attacking of people, black, white, brown, and all colors in between were attacked simply because they got in the way of the mob. And to see people like Kamala Harris and the mayor of Minneapolis and other dignitaries, Keith Ellison, the lover of Antifa, and to see all of them support that insanity that was going on.
The lawlessness.
To see the mayor, what's his name, Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis out there, get out of Minneapolis. It has gone to hell in a handbasket, that beautiful city of Minneapolis, where now you're having more mob rule. That activist that was shot, she was a political left, hardcore left-wing activist, LGBT advocate activist, that in essence was going after that ICE agent. And it's just, it's absolutely a shame. Yeah. And it's happening across the country that way.
Yeah, well, the rhetoric, and we've only got a minute and a half here, Jake, but even since the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the rhetoric of the left has not changed. Democrat leaders are still saying they're Gestapo, they're putting down ICE agents, they're saying, you know, don't do what they say, they're trying to dox them. This is really a rebellion against law and order, isn't it?
It absolutely is. No, it absolutely is, and that's why I, look, not a perfect president, no president ever is, but I'd rather side with a president who stands strong on the rule of law, has a strong Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, has a brilliant, strong Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, excuse me. The people behind him, national security, his advocacy for obeying the law, respecting the police, closing the border, stopping criminal ailments, poisoning our children throughout the country. Yeah. I'll stand with that before I'll stand with leftism and wokeism.
All right. So you're going to take some time off and get some rest and relax in Arizona. I'm a little bit envious, although I love the snow. But we'll keep in touch with you. And I know also, friends, you've been seeing the promotion for the Worldview Matters Conference. Dr. Jake Jacobs is one of the speakers.
Oh, I can't wait.
Thank you. That's
May,
May
right?
1st and 2nd.
Oh, I can't. I'm
you better
really
be back
excited.
In Wisconsin.
I'll be back. I'll
May
be back.
1st and 2nd.
I can be back for my grandson's first birthday on April 17th.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Mine is the 19th, by the way. So.
Oh, fantastic.
So, friends, freedomproject.com, One Nation. You can catch up with Jake, and he talks about so many other issues, but it was fun to talk about the globe and geopolitics and what's going on in the country and just things the media really doesn't touch on and your perspective. Thanks for your time, brother.
Hey, by the way, the song, when I look at the globe, the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, comes to my heart.
Yeah. Praise God. Well, thank you, friends. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.